That's when Paul went up to the up on Mars Hill, and he had a great discussion with the great thinkers of the day. And Athens at this time was, the way I understand, had it was a Greek city, and it had reached its zenith of political power, and it was a center of thinking, and it was type like a university setting, where a lot of different people that thought differently all came together. And much of what came out of the Greek and the Roman thinking still affects us today. And philosophy, as we know it, had its beginnings in the Greek and Roman settings. So Paul goes up there and he wants to take the good news of the resurrection and spread the gospel to his Greek and the friends of the people that he knew in Athens. Starting with verse 16. While Paul was waiting there for them in Athens, he was waiting for some people. He was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating a foreign god." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then he took them and brought them to a meeting place of the Areopagus, where he said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul stood up in the meeting place of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even see an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are all his offspring. Therefore, since we are all God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like silver or gold or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day that he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. Others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' After that, Paul left the council, and some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others." What I would like to do in a short message is deliver a couple of different ideas. I am operating freehand. I have no notes because I wasn't prepared to work in this direction. So you are free to add along the way as usual as you want. But Paul went up to a place of great education and he introduced a new idea. And one of the things that always stood out to me was people's willingness to sit down and listen to some new idea. Some accept it, some don't, some just scoff at it and moved on. But the willingness to sit down and to listen with an open mind was something that always impressed me. Something that I don't always see today as I travel around and try to discuss various different things along the way. Some people are more accepting and some people are not. Some people don't want to hear nothing for fear they are being made responsible, is what I always say. Ignorance is bliss until you know. And so this was a setting where there were a great number of people. There were Jews and there were God-fearing Greeks. As I said last Sunday, these were Gentile people who were associated with the Jews partly. They weren't Jews fully. They were God-fearing people. They were different than the Greeks. They were somewhere in between the Greeks and the Jews. And they definitely believed in God, and they were open to a lot of different and new ideas. They were probably the cutting edge of what a religious thought, aspiring a religious thought would have been at the time. The Epicureans were people who believed, basically the way I understand Epicureanism, is that you could do anything to the body because it was going to go down into the grave and be dirt. And so you could do anything to the Bible, your body, but your soul and your mind is what you had to worry about. So if you thought properly, but you could do anything to your body. You could have orgies, you could do whatever you wanted because it was going to be thrown away anyway. That is how I distinguish the Epicureans. I may be a little, there's probably a lot more into the idea than that, but that was my basic understanding. Stoics were people who were very strict. They believed by disciplining the body and the mind, you got closer to God. And both sides of this idea is still alive today. So unless you think otherwise. Stoics, it would probably be ultra-conservatism today, where they believe, similar to the way I was brought up, that by what you do on the outside counts on the inside. So outwardly expresses more so than what the inward heart is. It is supposed to reflect the inward heart, but many times it didn't. And the other side of it is just as fallible as the way I see it, is that you can't go around doing anything you want or act inappropriately, and you just think, okay, yeah, I believe, and that's okay. So in other words, you think in your mind that everything is okay, so you separate your mind and your body in two different places. I think that is more or less kind of wrong too. I think it has its problems. No matter what you think, and no matter what you accept is true, there are problems with it. There's no one particular idea that that solves all the issues and all the problems. The greatest thing, I think, is what Jesus said, is forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and the resurrection. And so the idea of resurrection during this particular time was a foreign and different idea. It was not a new idea. I mean, it was a new idea. It was not an old idea. The idea was around, but it wasn't the idea that was that only a chosen few were resurrected. Your kings and what have you were the ones that went and lived. Jesus brought the idea that everyone was going to be resurrected, or at least that's how I see it. Now, some would argue that some are going to be judged. As Paul says here, eventually he's going to judge the world. I also think that religious thought and theology progresses along the way. It's a living understanding. And so as we moved along through time, we accepted and developed many different ideas. The idea of Trinity would have been foreign to Paul. He wouldn't have known what the idea of Trinity was because it wasn't around. So a lot of things that we assume what always was not. we are on a learning curve. Humanity is on a learning curve, going hopefully up, but or expanding out. So the idea of resurrection was a new idea, and as I have said, I am was always impressed with the idea of the willingness of the people to listen. I also was impressed by Paul's willingness to go and stand before people who he knew would not agree with him, but yet he still went anyway. He was still willing to go and present his idea with a fairness and without judgment. I didn't hear in his words that some of you are going to be condemned or you're already condemned along the way. He simply expressed the idea and laid the idea out with as much as love and compassion as he could, as with as much understanding as what he could present. He planted the seed and allowed it to grow. He didn't add a condemnation to the characters of the different way people thought. And that is something I think that we do a lot. We have to be very conscious of the fact that when we're communicating with someone, we don't demean the person's character in order to express our idea. We don't put them down in order to make our idea more fertile. It doesn't work that way. But this is what way the world operates in a lot of ways. One has to be right and one has to be wrong. So Paul did not do that. He even went on to say that some of your own poets expressed some of these ideas. He utilized what was available to advance his idea. I think that's also very important. You don't condemn and put people down and say, your idea is totally no good, now accept this. Use some of what the person that you're communicating with to express and to show how to move that person to a different place. You don't condemn the person and then say, here, take this idea. I remember a book that my brother gave me about a missionary who went over to India, somewhere over in that area, and he learned that the very principle, that he could communicate very well, much better, by utilizing what they already knew and then built upon that. And I think that's what Jesus did. That's why I say what Jesus taught is an ingredient. It was added to the different cultures. If you add what Jesus said about loving your neighbor as yourself to your culture, whatever it is, then you advance, I think, not only in your own mind, you develop and expand a broader view than if you simply say, I'm only going to love my own kind, which is that idea is still alive today. So I think Paul and gives us a good example of how we should approach people and how we should present our ideas and not do it with, you can do it with boldness, but yet he did it with a lot of gentleness too, I think. But yet you can stand up for what you believe, and he wasn't diminished in what he thought. And yes, some people accept it and some people don't. But I think, but like rain, it rains on everybody. I think once you hear an idea, it affects you. You cannot say you never heard that idea again. You are now responsible and accountable for what you hear and whether you believe it or not. Anybody want to add anything? I think that, again, the greatest thing, and I will mention one thing. I watched a movie, and if you can get to watch it, it was The Hate You Give. The Hate You Give. I can't hear you.
You missed that.
Yes, I did. Anyway, it was a movie about the African Americans in the inner city, and a story of a person, like a family setting, in which one of their friends got killed, and it was really done very well with some of the issues that I think the black community deals with. That was some of what the message that's coming is, it just needs a little more interaction, I think, is more a little more developed for that type of setting, and that'll come next Sunday. But if you do get a chance, watch that movie. And I think we can take Paul's idea of how we interact with other people in our world today. You know, how we look at different races and different ethnicities and what we formulate in our mind. I'm guilty of things that I should probably not try to say. I'm not saying that I operate in a perfect realm. I don't. I think things and then I say, oh, I shouldn't think that. And so I'm on a learning curve too. We are human beings and we have to learn how to maybe not act out or not express it or discipline ourselves and say, no, we shouldn't say that. It takes training. It's not easy living in this multicultural society. So I think as forgiveness, grace, and mercy, as we extend it to others, we have to extend it to ourselves. We have to learn to forgive ourselves along the way. I think that is one of the greatest gifts that Jesus gave us. And so I will close with that. Forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Amen.
Couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you. But every long lost street led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know. That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. I think about the years I spent just passing through. I like to have the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all a part of a grander plan that is coming true. Every long lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true. That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. And now I'm just a rolling home into my lover's arms. This much I know is true. That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. God bless the broken road that led me straight to you.
Catch the vision of the new works you are doing. Amen.